Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we do this every single Wednesday at 10:30. Our good friend Tyson Hulcher, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene Springfield, our Ducks insider, joins us every Wednesday for a half hour to chat. And Tyson, welcome back to the show. Thanks, as always, for joining us. I want to start here. We'll just get right into it. Is it going to rain for the first time ever at Autzen this weekend?
It's kind of looking that way, guys.
Because I was told it never rains at Autzen Stadium.
You know, I can't vouch for whether precipitation has actually gotten onto the field. You know, I have a nice cushy spot in the press box. There's that big roof overhang. So, you know, I'm not going to come on your radio waves and disagree with the position that Oregon has been standing behind since, I believe, like 91-ish. But yeah, you know, it might rain around Autzen Stadium on Saturday.
I think that's one of the coolest, like, brags any school could ever have. You know, it never rains at Autzen Stadium. I don't know why, but that just gets my juices going.
It's a simple thing.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, explain this to me, Tyson. I got a question for you. The spread for this game is like 7.5. It's been as high as 8.5. Before the season, it was double digits. Despite this being a top 10 matchup, the spread, and I know we're not a gambling segment, but the spread sometimes talks about a lot about how people feel this matchup is going to go. It's a top 10 matchup. Why? What am I missing here? Why is the spread so big?
I don't know, to be completely honest. I think this is going to be an incredibly good matchup. I think, you know, Oregon is obviously the more established brand. I think people are used to seeing the Ducks in these games. This is kind of an outlier for Indiana in its entire program of having a top 10 game that's worth having game day in town for. So it just might be some, you know, people going with what they're used to on that side. But when you look at this game, Indiana is going to be the best offense that Oregon plays, I think, all season. Fernando Mendoza, I think, is going to be the best quarterback they play all season. And it's an offense unlike they've seen all year. You know, we made quite a bit about, you know, the experience that Penn State brought back and, you know, their ground game and Drew Aller being the most experienced returning quarterback in the Big Ten. And going into that game, that wasn't an explosive offense. It wasn't an explosive offense against the Ducks, save for a few plays in the fourth quarter. And then they were very unexplosive the week after playing UCLA. So I think that this is going to just be a major test going up against an offense that's averaging around like 50 points per game and just looks every bit as dynamic as Oregon's has on the other end. So I wouldn't be playing the numbers in terms of point spread in this one, because I think this is has the potential of just being a real big shootout.
That's exactly where Harris and I kind of started the show. I landed on, if you're Cignetti and you're Indiana and you have this offense and you have Mendoza and you have Surratt and you have Omar Cooper Jr. and you've got these weapons, you don't want to get in a grind-out game. You actually want this game to be a shootout, because for me, it's not to say that Oregon's offense is limited. It's just that their identity is rooted in defense. And if you want to get in a grindy game with them, that's what they prefer. Do you look at it that way? Or Harris was on the other side of this and saying, I think you want it to be a little bit closer, because I think that's scarier for Indiana. If Indiana starts putting up points early and can take Autzen out of it a little bit and build the snowball, that to me feels like if they're going to find the upset, that's how they do it.
I mean, that's, When Oregon scored the first touchdown of the game against Penn State, and I know it wasn't an immediate thing, it took several drives, but the air that it took out of the 111,000 in that crowd was significant, and that aided the Ducks for much of that game until Penn State was able to get back in. With with Oregon, Oregon's a team that can control the ball at home if they want to. They can take 7-minute long touchdown drives if they want, and they can take 2-minute long touchdown drives if they want. So if Indiana is able to come in and basically kind of dictate, like, you know what, we're going to come in here and we don't care about time of possession, we're just going to score quickly, I think that not only gets the air out of Austin, but it also just kind of like gets them into a game where, you know, Oregon's defense is one that, like, when they get into a groove, like we've seen over the last 2-3 years with Tosh, like when they get into a groove, they can put up really good games. But also, like, even with this Oregon team, we've seen some big play potential against them. You know, the 2 fourth-quarter touchdowns by Penn State there. I just think Indiana's a very dangerous team and can test them in ways that we just haven't seen.
Let's stick there in Autzen Stadium. Tyson Alger joins us from the I-5 corridor. Look out, Eugene, Springfield. Let's talk Autzen for a moment. For a team like Indiana that 2 years ago we'd have never expected to, A, be in the top 10 or be in a giant matchup like this, is there any level of preparation you can do to actually be prepared for what Autzen Stadium is like? Or is it one of those things that no matter who you are, no matter what your program is, no matter how much prep you do, when you walk in there at kickoff, it is just different?
That's a good question. I mean, for a team like Indiana that probably hasn't had a whole lot of, like, hyped up games like this, it's going to be jarring regardless. You know, Austin's an illusion. You get in there and you start doing the math and it's like 59,000 people can't be this loud. And then it just happens. You know, it might not be the full base or floor level that, like, a crowd double the size can be, but I've been to a lot of college football stadiums now in my career, and I don't think any one that I've been to hits like the high gear at the right moments quite like Austin does. Now, there are ways that you can go about preparing for it. We saw the way that Oregon going into Penn State, they spent like the entire week with basically like boom boxes in the huddle, like trying to like rattle them and get them used to the noise. But I just think it's one of those things where you're going to have to deal with it. I think the rest of the Big Ten kind of got the picture when Ohio State fans came in and were awfully rattled by what they experienced at Autzen about a year ago. So I think that was kind of like the bat signal to the rest of the conference of, okay, like, Austin's real, like, that's legit. Indiana hasn't had many games like this, so I think the stadium will still play a factor in that one.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out, Gene Springfield. We'll take a quick break and come back and keep you with us. And we'll get into keys to the game and what part of Oregon's offense will it take to get this done. So stick with us. We'll be right back. 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're sticking here with Tyson, talking about the big top 10 matchup in Eugene this weekend. 12:30, you can hear right here on the Fan Sports Network. Starts at 6 a.m., I believe, with Sports Saturday with Joe Fisher and Rashad.
Darn tootin'.
And then the pregame is at 8:30, right, Rusty?
That would be 8 o'clock,
8
top
o'clock,
of the hour.
8
taking
o'clock.
All the way up until 10:30 when we hand it over to Jerry and Jorgie and good old Joey Mack and Dusty.
All right. But we have Tyson here joining us again, as he does every Wednesday at 10:30 for a half hour. And Tyson, we'll get back into this. Danny and I were having this question kind of when we started the show. You know, and we talked about this as well, it felt the Will Stein offense was pretty kind of like conservative and slow to get going against Penn State. I think there's a lot of just kind of feeling out your opponent and trying to get relaxed, and I understand that. Do you expect the same approach this weekend in kind of feeling out this Indiana team? Or do you feel, because you've got a big game under your book, you've seen some rhythm from the offense, do they just start going for it?
I think they're pretty aggressive from the start. Like, you have proof of concept. You have, you know, proof that these skill players in this offense can produce points, like, when it matters against a quality defense on the road. And so being at the confines of home and facing an Indiana team that, you know, I know Oregon's proud of its defense, but you're facing an Indiana team that has the potential to put up a lot of points. So I think this is one of those games where Oregon's going to be kind of going for it from the start. And if you look at just kind of the throughout the history of Dan Lanning, I don't believe the Ducks have lost a game when they've scored first under Lanning yet. So it's just like there's just certain little stats that kind of match up. And then when you get kind of like the crowd behind you at home, I just think it's real important for them to, you know, maybe come out with either an incredibly physical drive, or if they can hit like a Dante or a DeCorian Moore or Kenyon Sadiq, or even maybe get like Malik Benson back into the fold too. I just think it's the Ducks have some momentum. I know they had the bye, but I think that was beneficial just for them to get rested and healthy. And this is a team that knows that it can compete against anybody now.
Tyson, we were having this discussion in the break, and Duck fans are going to think this is some kind of like backhand or something along those lines. But this defense is really good. There's not a hole on it. But it feels like, and it's not just something that pertains to Oregon, it feels like it pertains to really to college football. When you look at this Oregon defense, does there feel like there's a star on this defense? Because I look around college football right now, and the only guy that I'm looking at, like, this guy is going to ruin your game plan, is Ohio State with Caleb Downs. And I feel like when you look at Oregon, Thieneman is really good. Mateo is really good. Bryce is really good. Like, there's a lot of guys that are really good. But it feels like they're not only them, but across the country, the defensive star doesn't feel like it's there in college football. Do you feel like that with Oregon?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, if you were to ask me, like, who the best defensive player on Oregon is right now, I'd have to think about it for quite a bit of time. You know, I think Mateo is probably the closest to being a star, just because he can be, you know, from game to game, a potential game wrecker, just where he's coming off from the edge. But I think kind of like the magic in Oregon is that they just have like a pretty good balance of guys around that level. I mean, you're talking about Thieneman in the defensive backfield. You can talk about Betcher. I feel like Tatum Tuioti gets overlooked quite a bit, especially for the amount of tackles for a loss he racks up. But like, no, this isn't, you know, the Ducks don't have a Caleb Downs. Not a whole lot of the rest of the country does. And, you know, I sometimes wonder if Oregon had less dudes, if maybe like we'd be talking about one in kind of more of a star fashion. But I just think, you know, when you get a roster and recruiting classes that are entirely made up of blue chips, it just kind of balances that out a little bit. And, you know, for Oregon, I think, again, going back to Thieneman, I think that he had kind of big time potential to be that guy. And we did see the game-winning pick. We also saw him kind of give up a couple yards in that game too, in crucial plays. So I just think, you know, it's not quite like offensive right now, where you do have kind of a lot of star factor on a lot of different rosters.
What's the unit that's going to win this game for Oregon? Is it DBs? Is it the line? Is it something offensively? What do you feel is the key, that specific group that you, Tyson, are going to be watching?
I think it's a mixture of the DBs and the defensive line. I really think that this is a game where Amari Washington and Bear Alexander are going to have the opportunity to kind of prove their mettle. The interior of Indiana has a good offensive line. I think the interior is a little bit weaker. So if they're able to kind of get through there and not only stop the run, but also put some pressure on Mendoza, I think that will be really key. And especially it will help out Oregon secondary that right now is ranked within the top 10 in national defensive passing efficiency and yards allowed. Just same with Indiana's, but they have a lot of young players in that secondary, whether it's like Aaron Flowers or Ifi, or, you know, just some of the kind of the red shirt freshmen, sophomores, or even younger guys that are playing there. So that'll be a real big test for them when like they're going to absolutely be depended on. And then on the flip side, I think if Oregon can still get the balance of the running game that they've had, I mean, good luck guessing who's going to be their lead back in this game. It seems like it's a continual cast of, or a continual dance of musical chairs. But if Dante Moore can continue to just be effective and not turn the ball over in key situations, I like the way that Oregon's offense is going to be able to run against Indiana.
How does Oregon lose this game? I always like it to come in from this angle, because they've been the favorite. They've had the upper hand, as it were. But I always want to look at it from what happens if or how does it happen if Oregon steps in the bear trap?
You know, if they get a little too aggressive and maybe they keep going for some of those four downs and they have some turnover on downs and all of a sudden they're playing an offense that can capitalize on mistakes like that, or if there's turnovers, you know, we're five games into the season and Oregon's been incredible in turnover ratio. They've taken care of the football. They haven't really shot themselves in the foot a whole lot. They're not a penalized team hardly at all. I think they had four last week against Penn State, and that was coming off of one, which was coming off of zero. So I think the way Oregon loses this game is just if they hurt themselves, or if they take a couple drives to get going, because I do think Indiana's going to score points in this game. I think the Ducks have the ability to score points as well, but it's just, you know, if you kind of come out with that bye game or that bye week hangover, and meanwhile Indiana's getting up for one of the biggest games in its program history, you know, I could see momentum playing a factor in this one. But, you know, if you go down position group by position group, I think the Ducks have equal to better talent at just about every place. I mean, you can make maybe an argument at quarterback, but you're arguing between two guys who are the Heisman front runners right now. So that's a bit of a wash. So I just think that, you know, having home crowd and getting off to a good start would be key in Oregon moving to 6-0 already.
He's Tyson Alger. Check out the I-5 corridor. Look out Eugene, Springfield, wherever you can, and get his stuff. What are you writing this week? I always like to give you a plug.
Oh boy, what am I writing this week? I am writing a story for tomorrow, just kind of catching up on Dante Moore and how, you know, this is a kid who has been basically a football celebrity since Jim Harbaugh offered him a scholarship when he was in middle school. But it kind of changes a little bit when all of a sudden, like, that potential turns into a top 10 win on the road with game day in town, and all of a sudden you're the Heisman front runner. So I find it interesting how a player like that kind of deals with another level of expectation thrown upon him.
Well, thank you, friend. Enjoy the game. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He is Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor. Look out Eugene, Springfield. Great stuff. Great guy. Great friend of the entire station here. We love him and everything he does.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah, you're seeing exactly, you know, what people outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.